This episode of the A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
Jay will literally sign anything except for penis.
I'll probably sign a penis, who cares?
He probably would. You'll have to hold it for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold your penis.
Yeah.
And it better not stink, my God.
Yeah, no, that's what the fuck?
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
Sorry, Jay just agreed with Medina. My head exploded.
Jay Boosh.
Is this what it's like to be a brewer? Because that was exciting.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. I take it all back.
Scotty.
I would really like you to, come clean. You just mulligan to land elf sword every single game.
And Medina.
So anyways, I had to leave, obviously, because I'm just not going to sit here and watch chicks get naked when there's trading to be done.
And now, the A-Team.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 138 of the A-Team Podcast. Mr. Scotty Mack here is your host. Joined, as always, by trusty silent assassin, KYT.
Hey.
Gross.
And the man, the myth, the legend, the Boosh himself, is back in the house. Jay, how's it going?
What's happening?
What's happening?
It's hot as fuck.
I'm not looking forward to that at all.
And there's bees.
It's even worse.
The bees! The bees! I'm doing good, except for, so far I've found two bees just crawling on my body.
What?
Just chilling, like, hey, what's up with Boosh? What's happening? He's a pretty hot guy over there. We better go investigate for our queen. Maybe she needs a new, some sort of bee-human lover thing. Pretty good. Pretty good. It's like The Happening, but instead of shitty plants, it's bees. How are you guys doing?
Well, I'm sitting in my house right now. It's like 21 degrees Celsius, which is nice and fucking cold for all of you people that are not in Canada land. There are no bees in my house. There's not a single insect.
They're not
in my
real
house.
Bees. They're just drones. So I don't even know if they have stingers. They're just looking for. They're just scoping. They're just putzing around.
They do have stingers.
Well,
try smushing one slowly on your arm and tell me if it has a stinger or not.
I don't want to.
I don't want. So, KYT, how are you holding up?
It's pretty sick because it's like I'm able to get it down to 23 or anything lower than that, and the rest of my family complains. So I'm like, what the fuck?
See, I just keep telling my wife, shut up, you can put more clothes on. What do you want me to walk around naked? And she's just like, no. No. I'm like, I'll fucking go to the door. Somebody rings. Hey, I've got this package for her. I got one right here. Like, it's going to be,
anyways. Definitely another downside of living with an Asian family. It's like setting down the AC to really low and having my grandfather really complain from the basement. I'm freezing now here, fucker, and I'm like, oh fuck,
damn it,
really
grandma.
So, I mean, 23 is still better than a lot of my friends just don't have AC. Period. So I feel sorry for those people.
Well, I think it's 28 at Jay's right now.
Yeah.
It's like a fucking balls hot is what it is.
So I'm really excited. It's going to be fantastic. So this is the last cast that I record in Ontario before I record my next one in Calgary. So that's very exciting.
Whoop, whoop.
So it's counting the days, which is pretty sick. But before we get to all of that amazing
Seven.
Stuff. Yeah. Count them.
Yeah.
It's less than that, because by this time I'll be there.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, so M14 came out for a pre-release last week.
And sucked.
By all accounts, a very good limited set.
Is it?
Yeah, okay, yeah. Okay. By all accounts, the limited, the draft especially is very good, and it's very interesting. And I mean, it was the same thing as happened last year, right? Like, there was not a lot of really huge cards that came out of it, except for Thragtusk and Thunderbolt Hellkite. And I guess everything else, you know, like, everybody raved about it being a good, fun, limited draft environment. So, like, KYT, you played M14 in two pre-releases this weekend?
Yeah, decided to play two.
Holy shitballs. So tell us about it. What happened?
Like, last episode I said, decided to want to, even a pre-release, like, try to win as much as I can to put myself in that mentality without, like, being overboard and a jerk about it, right? I'm still, like, the same nice guy, but at least try to win every match and take everything seriously to hopefully improve my overall game. And it's funny to hear Jay instantly say, like, I'm pretty sure the listener already expect Jay to think this set is terrible regardless of how good it could actually be.
Oh my god, sorry. Witchstalker is the best card ever. Suck it. Esper control. Oh my god. Witchstalker. Like, come on.
I might be a better draft format, I think, because a lot of the questions were like, why are there slivers here with no mana fixing? So a lot of people were disappointed about that because they could have opened like a bunch of sweet slivers, yeah, like in three or four colors, but they're like, fuck, like, there's literally no mana fixing except outside of like the green sliver, Verdant Haven.
It's like sweet 2/2 first strike for 3, I guess, in white. Like, that's pretty good. But other than that, like, there's literally no reason to run almost any of them that I can think of.
I wanted to run the red one that I opened in my first pool. The red one that it's attack, like, all gives all sliver when it attacks. Like, they can deal ping.
They can ping. Yeah, that's pretty.
The Hell Rider sliver. Yeah.
Ping like player or creature.
Yeah,
so that's ridiculously powerful, but. You know, didn't have enough slivers, so it felt kind of random. It definitely, a lot of people appreciated the lower power level just because they felt like they had more of a chance. They weren't just like blown away by a Thundermaw Hellkite or etc. So they felt like they had more of an ability to outplay their opponents. But that at the same time, a lot of people complain about the financial value of the set. Basically, I played two pre-releases and probably the total value of the rares that I opened was like $5.
So yeah.
It's pretty bad from that front. But I really enjoyed myself just playing it. Maybe not as good as some of the previous core sets that had actually like advanced mechanics like Exalted or Bloodthirst, I think it was. There's nothing like that here. Again, I think it's probably a better draft format where I could actually draft for slivers or some other type of strategies that are part of the set.
Well, did you, I'm not going to try to publicly call you out or nothing, but did you listen to the set review, Totally Lost on your website?
No.
So I did. I've actually come to start listening to that show. I mean, like, Marshall is amazing and I love him to death, but I wanted to kind of like see if these guys were any good. And I feel like, you know, Marshall's a little bit higher level than I am in terms of like limited and stuff. So these guys felt like they were sort of like just my speed. And I really kind of appreciated, what they're doing. And, you know, they had a lot of very similar comments. Also, the In Contention show this week had a lot of discussion about that. And Ruben had some really good insight. Sort of about the draft format in particular. And I mean, there's some cards that really stand out, I think, as well, that you really got to look for, whether it be in your sealed or your draft. And like the fact that Sarah Angel, Sengir Vampire, and like those are both uncommon. Is Shivan Dragon uncommon also? Or is that a rare?
No, it must be a rare.
I think it's still rare. It's still rare. Yeah.
Yeah. But like Doomblade's uncommon. So, like,
I don't know. And, like, that's upsetting, actually, to me. Like, I'm actually, like, I think it's shit that it's an uncommon now instead of a common, like, a common, yeah.
See, so it's interesting because they've replaced it with this other spell, which is like black 3, destroy a creature and then add like 2 or 3 mana to your mana pool or something.
Liturgy of Blood.
Liturgy of Blood. And that card seems pretty sweet. Like that's a common, right? So I feel like you're in this situation where you know you can very quickly, almost like you know the Burning Tree Emissary chains that we have now, except you know you get to like kill a guy, play a guy, and I think that's pretty sweet. You know, the straight up Doomblade at the value for 2 mana. I mean, it almost feels like with the whole set, like you said, it's powered down. So like 2/2 is sort of like the benchmark, and you see that by you know like Shock being the card, right? So
right.
Yeah, like how good was Shock this weekend or last weekend? I guess.
I didn't play red in either of my decks.
But like didn't see, like did anybody see any or?
I think, but a lot of the creatures that I was really scared of are the ones that Scott, it starts getting dangerous when you have the 3/3 flyers or obviously the 4/4s that Scott mentioned.
Yeah.
And even in green, there's that in common for 2 green, the 3/3.
The 3/3.
Yeah.
So there's those guys, but there's a lot of utility bears. There's like the Imposing Sovereign, like makes everything that your opponent comes to play top. The 2/1, the Young Pyromancer, every spell gives you like a Duder.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of bears. Yeah, a 1/1, a 1/1 Duder.
A Duder Bromant.
So there's a few of those annoying bears that have an ability that you have to kill. But the more dangerous guys were the beefier guys. I saw a lot of people were playing in green, were playing that 3/3 common guy for 5, where every time you play a land, you get a 1/1 Sapperling or something like that.
That guy seems kind of cool, like a mini Avenger of Zendikar.
Yeah. And like 3/3 is tough to deal with outside of combat. Like there's very few hard removal spells that are gonna do it, right? So I mean like I guess when you consider the set as a whole, I mean like moving Doomblade, if Doomblade were common, like you would lose a lot of the focus and value on those guys, right?
I mean that's what you think, but I mean like it's not like M10 and 11 and 12 didn't have that stuff, or I guess it wasn't in M12, but but you know what I mean? Like it had utility guys and it was a common, I don't know.
I'm glad you pointed out some sources. I'm gonna have to listen. I listened to a bunch of Totally Lost's work before, and I know the two guys very well, and I think like their first effort I thought they did it really well. So I'm looking forward, but it's like a 5-hour like behemoth episode, so
yeah. I've been chugging through it. I'm not 100% of the way through it yet, but I listened to the Dragon's Maze one and I thought that was pretty good, so I thought I'd give this one a shot. And it's I like it. It's good.
So the deck even though there weren't as many people, I don't know if it's because the core set was underpowered, was attracting less people, but it felt like there were less people going to these pre-releases than the ones that I've gone to before. But there's 16 in the first one that I went to, and there were 28 in the second one. And I finished second the first and I actually ended up winning a box placing first in the other one. So second, first, pretty happy.
Nice.
About my performance. My winning deck would be a deck that you would probably love to death. That it's 2 Archaeomancers. It's a blue-black deck with 2 Archaeomancers. The 5-mana removal spell you talked about. Doomblade. The draw 3 cards for 6 mana in blue. So there was a lot of play.
Isn't it 4 cards? It's opportunity, right?
Yeah, opportunity's 4 cards.
Yeah, 4 cards. My first one, I got killed when I was stuck in my hand. I was like, and like, because you basically have to tap out to play it, and you're just going to get killed against any aggressive deck that can take advantage of it. And the key is really to designing your deck so that you actually have a bunch of low drop spells so that when you untap, you can reply with multiple spells and not like reply with a 7-drop that's like a bomb, but they could just like have a 1-card answer as well to it and just swing the for the fences. So my deck was like flying and intimidate. With so my sweet 1-drop spells were Sensory Deprivation.
Nice.
And because I'm flying Intimidate, I really never interacted with it. So the card was essentially a sick 1-mana removal spell for a lot of creatures.
Mm-hmm.
because, you know, the blocking, like, they never got to block my creatures. So those are the type of spells, like, before I used to die because I'd play Divination and cards like this draw for opportunity and just, like, die because I'm like, oh, I just have a 5-drop and another 6-drop and another 7-drop in my hand, and it just, like, can't play anything. I did have Colossal Whale in this pool, so that guy is just insane.
Nice.
And in the finals, it was me against my good friend Barry, and I was blue-black, he was blue-white, and we both had Colossal Whale. And the matchup, it went the best out of three. The matchup was basically a war of who would land Colossal Whale or who can come with, like, keep it on the table. Like, he had cancels, pacifisms, had Doomblade, so it was, like, a funny thing, and we both decided to go on the draw in the matchup, so it was, like... It was like we were playing Constructed, nice. Really. It was pretty sick. Like, I sideboarded in Duress. It was like, it was crazy.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
So I had a lot of fun. But definitely a lot of people were complaining about the monetary value of the set. Like, outside of opening, like, the Planeswalkers, it's or Scavenging Ooze, it's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's funny because, like, that always happens with the core set. Pre-releases in the summer anyway,
mm-hmm.
right? So, like, Theros will be retarded. Plus, the other thing, too, is, like, people want to go to the pre-releases to be able to get their hands on high volumes of the cards, right? So, like, there is the financial aspect of it. Plus, I mean, like, you go and, well, I already have half these cards, so this is fucking useless, right? But you go to, you know, I mean, I even see a decline when you go to, like the second set pre-releases.
Right?
Because, like, for example, like, Dark Ascension, right? You went to the pre-release, you got 3 packs of Innistrad and 3 packs of Dark Ascension for your sealed pool. Because that's the way it was designed to be played. But, like, you know, those ones I even see a decline, because people are like, well, I already have all this Innistrad, like, I don't need any more. I'm going for the Dark Ascension, and I'm only getting 3 packs for whatever the hell my money is? Like, you know, no, I'll skip it, you know? Whereas you find that the fall set, which is always, like, 6... Or even, like, Avacyn Restored, when I went to that one. Like, it was 6 Avacyn Restored, and it was busy as shit. You know, anytime you're getting, like, a full load of the new product and the product isn't balls, yeah, you're going to get, like, totally rammed full of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but Avacyn was balls. It was just flavorfully balls, and people love flavor balls.
Well, I don't think everybody thought it was balls until after pre-release weekend when they played it and went, wow, this is the most ballsy format ever.
I think that's actually pretty accurate. I would charge that guy that's on Twitter that listens to all our old shows to go back and listen to our shows before that when we were talking about it.
Vault Dude. I followed him on Twitter.
Vault Dude.
Yeah.
Because I would like to know if we were on the ball or not. Or if we were just oh man, fucking Avacyn, angels. Angels are my favorite things. And then it was like, ah, shit. But, or if we were like, no, there's no removal in this format, that's going to be garbage. And then there was no removal in that format, and it was garbage.
Yep. It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Like, I have no desire to ever play that format. Ever.
When Deathwind is premium removal, you have a problem.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then there's also, like, the Bonfire, and there's, like, this...
The Miracles were so busted in the limited format. Oh, even the common Miracles were
even the shitty ones. Yeah, this is a 7-drop, or you could Miracle it for 1. Oh, sweet. That sounds garbage. And then some guy just fucking hits you with 4 of them, and you're like, okay. I can get behind this. Good game. Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you like the guy offers the shake, like, oh, yeah, sorry, I Miracle Bonfired you. He's like, No, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I'm not surprised to see the numbers low, but, you know, yeah. I'm sure that this will be drafted the shit out of on Magic Online. Like, people will just love it and they'll just do it. Seems like a good format to farm QPs in, you know?
Corset is a very, generally is very good for that.
I was waiting for the adjective. Very what?
Well, I feel like I.
You know what? I say that all the time right now in my real life, and it's your fault.
Hey, honey, what would you like for dinner? And then
I feel like.
I feel... I feel like
such a Jay thing.
It's so terrible.
I feel like that's okay. The other day I said, Megan, that this food tasted like a dog's breakfast.
Nice. It all balances out.
Yeah, it's all about balance.
Oh man. So yeah, I'm glad, but you had fun though. Like, I'm glad you crushed. Didn't I read that you got prized out in Modern Masters packs?
Wow.
Yeah, one of the stores double bonus for finishing second. I won 6 Modern Masters boxes. I don't know the reason. I don't know the reason, but it wasn't good old face-to-face games, like $18 cheap. It was $30.
Oh my God, $30. I don't have $30.
It's pretty crazy. I paid 30 twice because of where I lived.
Not too crazy. In Calgary, it's like 25, 30 for your pre-releases.
Yeah, it's about where we're at.
It's just crazy when you compare it to our good old sponsor,
face-to-face, games.
Yeah, those guys do it right.
Speaking of face-to-face games, they said that my Star Wars shit would be here on Tuesday, and it was fucking here on Tuesday.
Nice.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, Star Wars shit. By the way, this is my formal resignation from the A-Team, and I'm going to go start Red Squadron, which will be a podcast about Star Wars miniatures. In fact, that sounds terrible. I redact that. But actually, coming out of my mouth, that sounded terrible, so I don't think I'm going to do that.
So although you probably should at least tell us about the Star Wars miniatures game.
It's so fucking cool. It's like the best game I've ever played in my whole life.
Okay, so how do you play?
Okay, miniatures. So you get... Yeah,
is
it's like,
your
it's
first miniatures?
Like, it is. It's my first miniatures. Yeah. So what happens is you buy the starter set, and the starter set comes with 1 X-Wing and 2 TIE fighters, okay? Then set up your little miniatures. So if people don't know what miniatures are, it's kind of like Warhammer or something like that is the closest thing I could think of, right? Like, you got your little guys there, and you don't have to paint them, which is sweet. They come pre-painted, and the paint job's actually pretty good. And it's fairly cheap. Like, it's $20 right now at Target for, like, a starter set.
So you get these 3 ships, but it sounds like 2 of them are, like, they don't belong on the same side of the field.
Correct. They do not. So you just, with the starter set, you can play with a friend. So then what you do is you set up where you want to go, and then you basically, you're supposed to play on, like the smallest play area is supposed to be, like, a 3x3 foot, like, square, right? And then it includes some movement templates. So what those are basically, like, if you had, like, a, say, like, a 1 to 3 inch or 4 inch ruler, and you basically, what happens is they include a bunch of templates. So in normal games, what would happen is you would have to use, like, you see those guys, they actually use, like, tape measures and regular rulers and shit. Yeah. And they have to turn them, and they use angles and shit. What is great about Fantasy Flight games is they always include everything you need to play their game. So what this game includes is a 1 turn to the left, a 1 bank to the left, which you can obviously turn over, and it's to the right, and then, like, a 1 straight. And then they do that for 2 and 3, and then they have a 4 straight and a 5 straight.
Wow.
So those are the maneuvers your ships can make. And then your ships have a firing arc, right? So it's in front of them at, like, a whatever, 2 60-degree angles off of 90 or whatever, right? And, and then what you do is you fly around and fucking shoot each other. And you go, woo-hoo! It's fucking sweet, by the way.
Neat. So, and there's like a ton of different expansions, and, like, somebody, so, like, for both sides too, like, they're...
Yeah, so right now there's 3 expansions. They're going into phase 3. And what phase 3 is going to be, there's 4 ships. There's going to be, what is there going to be? There's going to be, like, the, you know, that dainty butterfly ship? It's called the Lambda class shuttle. It's the one that the Emperor flies on.
Yes.
So there's going to be a Lambda class shuttle. There's going to be a B-wing. There's going to be a Hawk. It's like a, it look, kind of looks like a Hawk, and it's like a bounty hunter ship. And then there's going to be...
So, like, Boba Fett's ship.
Yeah, similar to that. That's Slave One. They already have that already, actually.
Yeah, okay.
And then they have, like, the Millennium Falcon. They have TIE Interceptors, TIE Fighters. They have Darth Vader's, like, advanced TIE that he flies in the movie.
Yep.
They have A-Wings, Y-Wings, and X-Wings. There's no big ships because everything is to scale. It's a 1 to 270 scale. So what that means is, like, you know, your TIE Interceptor is, like, maybe, like, an inch by a half inch, or maybe, like, an inch, 2 inches by an inch is about the size of the miniatures on average. So, but at that scale, if you were to get, like, a Star Destroyer, it would basically just be a table.
Yeah, yeah.
So they don't have that, right? So, and then, yeah, you fly around. There's photon torpedoes. There's Han and Luke, and they give you pilot abilities. So it'll say, you know, you can reroll your dice when you attack, which is good. If you miss, you can just fucking reroll and try to hit again, right? And stuff like that. And then, basically you just do that like a bunch. You fly around, you make your moves. It's kind of strategic because you got a plan where you're going to go and where that guy's going to go, so you can shoot him and he can't shoot you, basically. And then, and there's tournaments and shit, which is the coolest part.
Really? Where? Trilogy games?
Yeah. I don't know if they would actually do one, but basically, like, the game is set up to have, like, tournament rules and tournament play. And then, like, if your LGS will do it, you can have a tournament, basically. Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
I gotta ask Jay. Because I've seen people play miniatures forever, right? There's all these other games. Yeah. So. What made you get into this one as opposed to all the million?
Yeah, like I didn't get into it per se. Like I just basically, Brian Zemba bought it with his like store credit or whatever. He traded in a bunch of cards and got a version of it or whatever, right? Okay. And then he brought it by and I was like, holy fuck, Star Wars. Like this looks fucking sweet. I'm going to buy it. I'm going to play this. And then, we played it and it was actually fucking bonkers good. And so we just keep playing it. We play it like probably two or three times a week.
Wow.
And because it's that good. Like it's just got huge replay value. And like I said, because it's a fantasy flight game, like there's always problems with fantasy flight games in terms of like there's like as a Magic player, like it's true that Magic is one of the best designed games on the planet in terms of like rules and lawyering and everything, right? Like there's yeah. there's a rule for literally for everything. So, you know, when you like, you know, you don't in Magic, you don't run into things a whole lot where it's like, what would happen if and what would happen this and whatever. Normally, there's a rule for that. Mm-hmm. In this game, in most Fantasy Flight games and stuff, that can come up where you're like, well, what happens if I do this? And they're like, I don't know. The rules don't say. I'm like, oh, OK, well, I guess it's probably never come up before. And it's a fairly newish game. Right. So. But yeah, it's the thing is that it's very beginner friendly. Like you can start off like. Playing as hardcore or as soft core as you want. Like basically you can do it casually or you can do it like I said, you can go to tournaments if you want. You know, and then it's just fun at every level. We've played multiplayer games, which are kind of shitty. You know, like playing like a two-headed giant game is fun, but playing like a multiplayer three-player game is not as much fun because the game's not designed for that. So you run into again, some issues.
Sweet. I mean, it's like you said, like you mentioned, they give you everything that you need. Whereas,
that's the great thing is like you literally everything in the game that you need to play is in the starter set.
Well,
okay. It's like the other games I see people like buying infinite more miniatures and they have like a huge box full of them. It's like, fuck.
Yeah,
a lot of money like invested in this game.
Yeah, like and that doesn't come up in like this can be kind of expensive like in terms of buying your ships, but that's the great thing about it is you don't need to buy sort of like you don't there's no must buy stuff. So what happens is like things like today I bought two A-wings and two TIE interceptors and it was $60 for four ships. But like you get like I said you make your squadron do that stuff. And then, you know, like Brian doesn't have to buy those cards anymore. Or I mean those ships, I guess. You know, Brian doesn't have to buy those because I have them. So, and like you can make your squadron as complicated or as easy as you want as well. So, you know, like we've been playing around with some strategies and like I played around with doing like a three X-wing strategy. And one of the abilities that one of your X-Wing pilots has, if your other ships are in range, then they have to target him instead of your other ships. So what you do is you just tank him up with a bunch of defense, and then you load all your other guys up with offense, and then basically like they just have to attack him, but he dodges almost everything, and then your other guys just wreak havoc, right?
So how many guys can you move in a turn? Do you have to move every single one of your guys?
Every guy moves every turn.
So it just depends on how long you want your games to be.
Yeah, exactly. And like generally what you do is you say like, oh, we're going to play with a 100-point squad. So you can play with as many like ships as you want, or you can play with a couple of ships with really high upgrades instead. It's like completely up to you because you get the points to spend, right?
Hmm.
But yeah, So it's actually just fucking super sweet. That's why I can't stop talking about it. Like, it's just
stop.
Well, the good news is that sounds like infinitely more fun than golf.
Yeah, oh yeah, I won't be talking about that anymore.
What?
No, I'll be talking about Star Wars.
I feel like how is this possible? But I'm gonna give this game a try.
I mean, I'll still be playing golf, but it's just super sweet. Like, when Scotty's here, we're gonna fucking play it.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you how terrible it is.
Nope.
No, it actually sounds fucking awesome, so.
In all fairness, like, I played my share of MechWarrior back in the day.
Yeah, okay.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
I have a buddy that played, he used to play, like, Warhammer, and he says this game's, like, really fun. Like, it's just like every other miniature game. Like, it's fun.
So what you're saying is that Star Wars to Warhammer is Yu-Gi-Oh! To Magic.
Yeah.
All right.
That's actually a really good way to put it.
Wait,
yeah.
Which one's Yu-Gi-Oh?
Star Wars.
Star Wars is Yu-Gi-Oh.
Like Star Wars is super fun and super easy to get into, and yeah. It's as competitive as you want it to be. But at the end of the day, it's not Warhammer.
Yeah.
Like, it's not going to cost you $1,000 for an army. And
and then you got to paint it, and you got to learn all the infinite rules and cut. Yeah.
It's very gaming, game workshops or whatever they're called.
Workshop, yeah.
And be like, holy fuck.
Cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But anyway, so that's Star Wars for those listeners out there.
Well, speaking of listeners, we had like a metric shit ton of comments this week.
Oh yeah, so what's up with that?
We had like 55 comments this week.
Wow.
Yeah, and they were not all David Mantle or Jesse.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them that were Jesse. But like, so Polish Tamales leaves us a comment. Yo, my friend just got into listening to your podcast. She's about 30 plus episodes in since the summer, and she loves all of you guys. Keep on rocking.
Woo!
It's pretty sweet, right?
Yeah.
Travis Hall wants Medina to concede that he won the great Alms Beast versus Desecration Demon Google Plus debate of 2012. So we'll wait for him to come back and defend himself. The one that really stood out for me, and I wanted to make sure that I read it in particular, was aside from the fact that Mr. Rigmos actually posted a comment.
Mr. Rigmos.
Yeah, I love this guy.
Was Tom3DC. Learn to play under pressure every game you lose. Learn to play under pressure. Every game you lose punches you in the face. Mana flood, mana screw, not knowing what cards are in your hand because your eyes are swollen shut from the black eyes. None of these excuses matter. Extreme negative physical reinforcement seems like the only realistic option. Great cast. Looking forward to more Jay Boosh, more Medina. It's been a while since there's been either a Boosh and Medina team up or a Boosh and Medina showdown. Fan the flames. Fight for our entertainment. Hashtag droolies. KYT, great episode. Mr. Scott Mack, great enthusiasm. Medina, great attitude. So, it was good.
Wow. What did I miss? I didn't even listen to this episode. Holy.
You missed a lot, man. The episode was good.
I must,
good.
Though.
Yeah.
I don't know how long. We talked more than I projected us to talk. We went, like, close to 2 hours. And I'm like, what the fuck?
It
was
deep.
Yeah, that's why I had to title it Everything, because we literally talked about
like, when you posted it and you were like, Everything, I was like, wow, sweet title. Kyle, please come back.
Yes, please.
Yeah, but we covered everything.
Nice.
So I didn't pre-release this week.
How come?
Because it didn't. Because I'm leaving for Calgary and I wanted to spend more weekends with my wife.
Right. That fucking sucks.
That's a balance. Yeah.
That too. So instead, I had a bunch of the guys over on Tuesday to play some Commander.
Sweet.
Which is awesome. I got to play with some guys that I haven't played with in a while. Mr. Mo Magic.
Nice.
On Twitter.
That guy's still alive.
Yeah, yeah, man. at Source Dave, who's a buddy of mine, and also Tyler the Fro, at Tyler the Fro on Twitter. So they came over and Alex played as well, and we had like some unreal fucking games. Tyler built this like Maelstrom Wanderer deck with the rule that every single time he has the capacity to cascade, he must.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, if he can cast the commander, he has to. Every spell he cascades into, he must cast. Okay?
Okay.
So those are the rules.
So, like, oh, I see. So he can't choose not to.
Yeah. So those are the rules that he made for his deck. Now, to make that interesting, he put in World Gorger Dragon.
Nice.
He put in Wormfang Manta.
What does that do?
He comes into play and you skip your turn.
Oh my god, okay.
And he put in, like, Jokel Hops. So there was this game, and Mo was playing, God, I don't even remember. It doesn't even matter. Source Dave was playing Jared Lichlord, and Tyler had his deck, and I had a Kalia deck out. So Kalia was going to town, and we got to a point where Tyler re-upped. He cast Eternal Witness, re-upped a Jokel Hops that he hadn't cast yet because it got flipped over or something. So I'm like, okay, well, I can't have Jokel Hops go off because I'm going to fucking die. So I end up playing Sire of Insanity to try to make him lose his hand. So I play Sire of Insanity, everybody discards their hand. Mo flips out because, like, if there's anything that he hates, it's like impeding him playing the game. Like, he loves to play the game, but, like, you get in the way of playing the game, like land destruction or whatever, and he, like, freaks out. And he's like, God, Sire of Insanity, and he gives me the sideways face. So anyways, it passes around, and of course Tyler discards Jokel Hops, and then he also discards Chancellor of the Spires?
Hello, Spires.
The blue one that lets you play shit?
It has like an instant or something from their graveyard.
So Dave looks at his hand, the Jurat deck, and he goes, well, I'm really far behind. So I'm going to cast Makeshift Mannigan, targeting Chancellor of the Spires, and cast this Jokel Hops.
Oh my god.
At which point, that leaves Dave with a Sylvan Library on the table.
Okay. This is Dave Lee?
No.
I was going to beat the fuck out of that guy.
What?
This is my buddy at Source Dave on Twitter.
Oh, right. Sorry. You've said that like 100 times.
Yeah. And then it leaves. It left. Did it leave anything? Tyler had something too. I just can't remember what it was. And then it left me with a Darksteel Ingot, and Mo had nothing. So we have no cards in our hand.
Fuck
and
that, like, game. See, fuck Commander. Play Star Wars.
There was a Mana Flare. Sorry. Tyler left a Mana Flare on the table. That was the other one. So there's like Sylvan Library, Mana Flare, my Darksteel Ingot, and Mo has nothing. And like Mo just like free. Like just lost it. It was really funny. He flipped the table so bad. He's like, in what universe is it okay and fun? Like, why are you telling him to cast a Jokel Hops? Dave's like, well, I'm just so far behind, and I have a Sylvan Library. It's the best play for me. What is the best play, the most fun play? What the hell happened? It was really funny. He just lost it. But it was good times. They were really awesome games. We had a blast. We got in a whole bunch of them. There's a picture on Twitter that on my timeline where there was a Living Death cast, and Dave was playing with some big dumb Naya deck, and he just like brought back something like 30 creatures plus a Gruul Rage Beast. So like Gruul Rage Beast says, whenever it or another creature comes in under player control, you may fight a creature an opponent controls with that creature. So it's just like Judge's worst fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just hilarious. So, yeah, there's some pretty epic plays. It was really good times. I, like, went off, like, bonkers with the Animar deck. Not combo, just, like, bash face. It was pretty sweet. And, yeah, we had a really, really awesome night of Commander, and I missed it because I haven't played in a long time. So, it was awesome. Yeah, I got to tune my Damia deck, I've realized, because it's just, like, absolutely terrible. Especially with the M14 rules, with the, like, clones and such.
Yeah, like, that basically just...
Because, like, the entire deck was, like, legends and then clones.
Yeah.
To try to, like, kill everyone else's cards, and it's just, like, ugh.
And that doesn't actually work anymore.
No. Because, like, I play, like, Kokusho, and I was playing, like, Kiga, you know, and so, like, I'd be able to, like, play one, clone it, get the effect twice, you know, shit like that.
Exactly. Get the effect twice, but kill them.
Yeah, and it's, like, extra cute stuff, and it's just, like, none of it works anymore, so I just, like, totally have to retool the entire thing, but, But yeah, so it was my first experience with the M14 rules. It was all right. I think it's going to be very interesting. We didn't have any Planeswalkers on the table, but I feel like it's going to be something.
Yeah, like at the pre release, I got to see two people face off. They both had Garrick's, and that was interesting to see.
Oh, how good is Garrick in limited? Is he just like a Planeswalker in limited, or like I imagine there can't be very much for him to do.
He's pretty insane because he just like basically draws you.
I guess just drawing cards unlimited is good.
Yeah. So, like, I saw it in play. One player just drew, like, three creatures off of it.
Untapped, yeah, that's pretty big.
It's pretty brutal, and can't catch up to the card advantage after that. But I don't think, you know, they used the second ability. But
yeah,
all planeswalkers seem pretty good. I beat a guy with Jace and Garrick, but he didn't have both of them in play. Mm. He had Jace. He milled me 10, but like I was able to kill it. So you really need like to be able to chump block or protect it at least. I was able to kill it each time, so nice. It was not a problem.
Did you see Chandra at all?
Not in play. So okay. I don't know how good it is.
All right.
I imagine it's got to be pretty, well, damn good, just because late game, if you have no gas in hand, you basically you're drawing extra card with the second ability. So
yeah. I mean, like, worst case, the Falter's probably fine, but like you said, there's a lot of hate bears, a lot of the ones you mentioned are all like X1s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Like
yeah.
Young Pyromancer and the Sovereign, like they're both very nice to kill.
Yeah, there's even the 4/1 in red for like 3 mana or something.
Yeah, just
vanilla 4/1.
Yeah,
it was interesting to see like 2 planeswalkers and not having to call Judge.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I'm glad they omitted legendary creatures from this set because that just would have added like that extra layer of insane. So that being said, like it's probably safe to say we're gonna see a whole bunch of them in Theros.
Yeah.
So.
Progenitus.
Progenitus?
God, that'd be pretty hot.
Do you guys have any foil Progenitus?
There's probably going to be a sick big green guy, though.
Yeah, there has to be.
Yeah, like there'll be some big, stupid, fat green guy. I don't know if it'll be good. It'll probably not be good. It'll be World Spine Worm.
Well, I mean, like, they brought back Rise of Eldrazi on Moto, you know, with this downtime for a reason, right? Like, you have to get people used to playing huge baddies again.
Oh.
Oh.
No, I'm spec. But yeah, so that's good. So I played some Commander. That was pretty sweet. Obviously I've been playing a crap ton of Magic Online for my stream and such.
How's that going? You're going to day 2, man, for sure.
Well, so
and then Jay's going to be like, what the fuck, man? I thought.
Yeah. So here's what's going to be very interesting. So I was on Skype with, Dan Dusan, Top Deck from Twitter. One of the guys that I've been working on the deck with for great lengths. He was actually on my stream at one point. And like I was just casually jamming an 8-man, and we crushed the 8-man in an hour and 20 minutes.
Wow.
Like that's retarded, right? Like an hour and 20 minutes crushed the 8-man.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty
yeah. So it was really good. We smashed Jund. We beat red green aggro and. I think it was Blitz or something for the first match. But like we just crushed them, and it was not close. And the Jund match in particular was not particularly close. We got a little bit fortunate in our last round of the red-green matchup because basically was stuck on 3 lands and 3 Hellriders in his hand and couldn't do anything. So we cast like a bunch of Huntmasters and Unflinching Courages and crushed it. But deck is coming along very, very well. Very well. I'm very happy with it. The interesting piece about this, though, is like, so when I was grinding Jund for the modern, for GP Toronto, and this is something that I just kind of came to today, I realized that at my peak, even just before I won the GPT, I was never having like this success on Moto.
No.
Like, at best, I was 2-2 Iggy Daily.
Yeah.
And so now I'm, like, very easily, I could very easily be 3-1-ing a daily. We would have 3-1 the one this week, except Luis, or an Alchemist, on Twitter, watched the stream, and he made the comment, and he said, like, I have never seen more all-land, no-land, back-to-back mulligans ever.
He didn't watch the stream when we did Big 2, then.
No, he didn't. That's true.
Holy fuck, that was the fucking worst.
Literally like that. Like, it was literally like that. There were the two matches that I lost, we had one game where we weren't even in it, because that's exactly what happened. And then, not only that, it's like, sometimes you just keep a hand with 2 spells and 4, and like, 5 land, right?
Yeah.
And then draw one more spell in 12 turns.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, like, variance is the thing. Like, I'm not getting angry about it, but, you know, it's nice because you kind of look at that and go, well, if you take that little bit out, like, we could have very easily 3-1 that daily. And I've never had success like this with a deck, right? So I'm feeling pretty good about the choice going into Calgary. I'm very familiar with the deck, really familiar with the matchups as it stands right now. Like, there's only like one or two matchups that I really need to work through. And like, aside from that, I'm ready to go. Now, that said, I mean, like, M14 on the horizon, there's been a lot of articles about what to play and how it's going to change with M14. So I'm really excited to see what happens on Sunday at the Star City Standard event in Richmond to see if that influences any of my deck changes. But Jay, you finally settled on a deck, right?
I believe so. I believe I'm going to play Banned Hexproof.
Fuck that. No.
So what is kind of like taking you through this trip? Because like you've actually tried a bunch of shit, right?
Yeah,
like,
and I've played Banned Hexproof before. I mean, I don't really like that deck either. But basically, like, so I was pretty sure I was going to play Jund. And mainly because I feel like for a little while that Jund has been the best deck.
Yep.
But the thing with Jund that I have a problem with is that you're playing the attrition game or whatever, but if you don't get those pieces of the puzzle, then you're just playing like really good bullets. And if they dodge your bullet, then, you know, like, you're bringing a revolver to a machine gun fight. Like, it's just terrible. Like, there were so many games that I played at FNM, like the most recent FNM I went 1-1-1. And there were so many games where, like, I just basically was like, oh yeah, okay, I'll just, I guess, Farseek to get an Olivia on turn 3. And then hope to God they don't have anything, because if they have something, I'm actually dead. Because I don't have anything else and all I'm doing is drawing land. Or all I'm doing is drawing removal, and then, you know, you don't hit your guy, or you've given them too much time to, like, I find, like, because you're not playing blue, you don't have any interactivity to do at instant speed with their, I guess, not combos, but just, like, things that you have to stop, right? And I find that, like, what's it called? Hexproof is faster than Jund, so I don't know how Jund beats it without being, like, really geared towards beating it, which is a problem, you know? I don't like doing that. So, yeah, so then I played that. What else did I play? I played Naya. I didn't really like Naya. I felt like the mana base in Naya is not very good. Like, I find there's just a lot of times where you have, like, a Pilgrim and no red, and you're like, well, okay, I guess I fucking do this. Like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like with Banned Hexproof, if you can get the turn 2 Geist, you can't lose. Like, nothing beats you. And like, that's a really good thing to go for. It kind of feels like when you're playing with Swords and Cobblade again. And yeah, like, I mean, I guess there's like Rug Flash and Bant Flash and all that. I'm just not really happy with that kind of stuff. Like, it just feels really shitty. And actually, like, right now I actually just hate Standard because every deck is just perfect. Like, every deck has the ability to just have perfect mana and perfect everything. And so I feel like it's just too easy. It's just too boring. There's 100 decks you have to play for, and it's not, you know, I don't know. So I figured, you know, Banned Hexproof's a nice, easy deck. I can just ease into it. I can get drunk. I can fucking VIP my way to victory with it. You know, whatever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the only real deck that, you know, has a good Hexproof matchup is Jund Postboard. And that's literally the only one.
Yeah.
The rest of them are like at best 50-50, if not 40, you know? So, I mean, like, Postboard Jund, like, I just put Reed Duke's list from his current, from his most recent Star City article in there. You know, he's got like 4 Bonfire main deck.
Yeah, and that's what I played at FNM.
Yeah, and then like coming out of sideboard, he's got like 2 Barter in Blood, 3 Liliana. Like, that shit's really hard to deal with.
Yeah.
But like, aside from that, the only other, like, you're more than fine.
Yeah, and I mean, like the thing is, you've played a lot more Standard than I have, and so you know the matchups better than I do, and it's what you recommended, so to me, that's a good endorsement. Like, that's good enough for me. Like, if I haven't played the format at all, I'm not going to pretend I know what the fuck I'm talking about, especially in a format like this.
Yeah.
You know, in a format like where, like, Solar Flare was, like, first came out, like when, you know, when it was like a new set type idea, like that's totally different. But in a format like this, where basically every deck is just perfect, like, yeah, I'm not gonna pretend, you know?
Why not? I love it.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like I feel like the best decks right now, like if you're gonna play a deck, you should first and foremost play a deck that you're comfortable with. Like that's the most important thing right now, especially right now. Second is the tier one decks realistically are Jund, not in any order, but like Jund, Hexproof, Junk Aristocrats, and I mean like the red green aggro also is a big one, and then I guess like Naya and Blue Arid Flash. Those are the big ones. And I mean, Naya's not even that big right now. I think it seems really well positioned right now. And it basically has a really good matchup for pretty much across the table. Like, even the Jund matchup's very good. I've been demolishing Jund with this deck all day.
Wow.
Yeah. They're really embarrassing, actually. Like, it's everybody that's been watching the matchups. There's a couple of them on stream. And then we, like I said, when we face Jund again in the eight man with Dan, it's just like, it's not even close. So just like every single card is just like, answer me, answer me, answer me, answer me. And there's only so many cards that Jund can answer.
Yeah.
So it's pretty good. Sweet. But yeah, Standard's going to be interesting. I'm really excited. I'm very, very excited to play. Zathar Necromancer is going to be a pretty big deal, I think.
Is it, which one's that guy?
That's the guy that says he's the 2/2 for 3. Whenever Zathar Necromancer or another human creature you control dies, put a 2/2 zombie token on the field.
Yeah.
So like that's going to see some play in like the Junk Aristocrats deck as well as the red, white, black aristocrats. And it may even spawn black, white humans if Jerry has his way. So it'll be pretty interesting to see what happens. This weekend's going to be very, very important.
Yeah.
And the other thing that we need to remember too, Jay, is that like for the GP in Calgary, the Star City Games Invitational is the same weekend.
Oh, yeah.
And in addition to that, most of the pros are actually over in Amsterdam testing for the World Championships, which are the next weekend.
Oh, wow.
So, probably going to be a fairly loose GP.
Yeah, hopefully.
Comparatively, like compared to Toronto, where fucking like so many people came.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So
yeah, I do wonder, sweet. I wonder what's your prediction on how many people you think will show up ultimately?
I'm gonna call about 750.
Yeah, 700? Like that, I feel like that's really low, but I feel like that's probably a good estimate for like a West Coast GP where it's never been before, and with all these other shitty tournaments.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about 750.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's a great choice for you, Jay. Hexproof is just super powerful. I don't know which list you'll ultimately playing, but that's also the deck I would recommend you playing. For that GP.
Yeah, I think so. I can just boggle some wins too, right? Like
you said, Jund can be designed to crush Hexproof, but right now it not like Scott said, it's post sideboard.
Yeah.
So we see if they make the adjustment, if they have to, if they need to, if Liliana's are amazing again. You know, but definitely Hexproof is the way to go. I'll be testing a bunch, so I'll see if I can get some games down with Hexproof and see how I
definitely
feel
about definitely the best build. I mean, the thing that I always hated about Hexproof is that like it's a glass cannon, right? You either draw the nut or you draw the cocoa nut, right? Like, it's just like there's just so much potential to just draw nothing, like, or have one guy with a fucking, with, you know, two auras, and then they you know, make you sack that guy or whatever, and you're just like, fuck, okay. Sweet deck I have here that literally can't do anything. If it doesn't beat you, it loses. Like, if it doesn't beat you on turn four, you lose, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, it's kind of like red deck wins with shitty mana in that regard as well, you know?
Mm-hmm. Thing is, like, you can now play all of these Hexproof guys. Like, you can literally play a deck with all Hexproof.
Yeah,
and that way you don't have to worry about it. You just run out a couple extra scouts, you know, and like they play Liliana, and you're just like, sure, bro, you know. So that's possible. Like I think in that case, like the reason that Jund's so scary is they also have Bonfire.
Yeah,
right. Because they just like Bonfire if you're like 2 or 3, clear out the rest of your shit, you know, and then they're like Liliana, Saki, you're done. But I mean, they pretty much have to have a pretty exact sequence of cards to be able to get there. So
yeah. But yeah, so I think it'll be fun. And I mean, like, worst case scenario, it's a quick 0-2 and then it's fucking party time.
This is true as well.
Also, I can't believe it's like in 7 days.
Yeah.
That's fucking crazy, KYT. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. So I'm like super excited. Super excited to get on the
plane. Mega jacked. We're going to have like a fucking sweet house too. Like, it's going to be me. It's provided that, I mean, it's my real house, so provided that nobody fucks with all my shit. But it's but it's me and Scotty and then Jason Clough. And then who else? Oh, and then maybe Ben? And then Louis Acosta?
Yeah, I don't think Ben's coming.
Ben no. Clinton?
No, Ben's
ben
not coming.
Clinton?
We hate that fucker.
Yeah, well, you gotta fucking, what is it called? Extend the olive branch?
Yeah, I don't think he's coming.
That's garbage. Why?
I don't know. Pick random reason that what he hasn't come to some other thing later, or like he's the boy of Credwolf.
Yeah. Oh my God. Is he ever? He goes to every GP. I mean, none.
Yeah. This all day. This. So. Yeah, and then the other thing that people can do while we're thinking about talking about the GP, is they can buy tickets for your raffle.
Oh yeah, let's talk about that. What is that? Oh man, crazy.
So we have the Boosh Bachelor Raffle.
Ba-down!
Wow, wow!
What was that? I love that.
All right. So the A-Team Raffle. So it's $5. Right now, here's what we've got.
$5? That's
cheap. Yeah, $5 per ticket. It's like
That's cheap.
So each ticket that you buy enters you into the draw, each draw. Okay? So here's the prize pools. So there's
so far.
So there's one prize of $100 store credit for face-to-face games.
Blammo!
There is one prize of $35 store credit for face-to-face games.
Blammo! That's enough to buy fucking Star Wars, by the way.
Yeah. There is one $100 store credit for legitmtg.com.
Squadoosh!
There is another $150 store credit for legitmtg.com. There is the M14 game promo scavenging use.
Sweet.
There are two summoners packed.
Summoners packed. Oh, yeah, sweet.
Yeah. So then you've got the next package, which is a foil Japanese Increasing Savagery, plus a foil Russian Somber Wild Sage, plus a foil Russian Tajik Blade of the Legion, plus a foil English Rexial, plus a foil English Phage the Untouchable.
Wow.
Okay. Next one is three Japanese Lingering Souls, Japanese Predator Ooze, and Russian Wolf or Silverheart.
Like in one bundle?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. All those foil, like, foil crazy ones are all one bundle. Then you've got a playset of foil full art Dungrove Elders.
Holy shit.
You've got a playset of Birthing Pods. You have a playset of From the Vault's Urborg Tomb of Yawgmoth.
Oh, nice.
You have a foil Aetherling. You have a playset of Deathrite Shamans.
Wow, foil Aetherling, that's like $20.
Yeah. A playset of Deathrite Shamans, which are like $15 a piece right now.
Oh,
there's a starter package that was donated by Sketchbook Comics. There's a picture of it on the website.
Yeah, how fucking cool is that?
It's like a playmat, seven boosters, plus two of the M14 like
starters or something.
Packs.
It's insane,
right? Plus sleeves, plus a box, plus an event deck. Like, fuck me.
Like, if you know someone that is like, yeah, I'm on the fence about Magic. Fucking blammo.
Yeah.
If you're new to Magic, you're new. You want to fucking get into it? Fucking blammo!
So we've got a Vancouver Canucks hockey jersey, which is donated as well.
Which we could burn it.
We could. You've got, and then Jay, the rest of this is all Jay's stuff. So Jay's donated a bunch of stuff to the cause as well. So Jay, why don't you go through, like, so the first one's for Divining Witch.
Yeah, so it's a playset of Divining Witch, which, you know, you could use in your either EDH deck. I used to use them in EDH, it's pretty sweet. I don't know if you guys want me to read what that does.
No, they can look it up.
Yeah, you can look it up. So there is a playset of Divining Witches. Then there is a bundle, which includes Gliss of the Traitor, Wormcoil Engine, and Sun Titan oversized promo card, which is kind of cool. Then they don't make those anymore. Then it includes... Oh, let me just grab it here. It includes 3 months of Star City Games Premium. So you can get your fucking pro star on. It includes a bunch of signed cards, and foil cards. Like one of them, for example, is like a signed Ponder from M12, and one of them is like a signed Graveborn.
Muse?
No. What's the one that RK Post draws that taps to destroy a creature? Avatar of Woe?
Yeah.
It's from the Graveborn deck.
Nice.
And it's signed. And then I believe it also includes a playmat of Mistvane Border Post.
Yep.
And it's got a life counter on the side, so you don't have to fucking worry about your life, man. You just put your shit on there, and it's like somebody docks you some life, just drip, down the line. Down the line.
Wow.
And then I went through a bunch of, like, my... A bunch of, like, my older cards and cards that I had, like, multiples of that were good, but I just wasn't using, like, Day of Judgment, for example, or fucking... and then just some stuff, like, randomly that you would never use outside of a very limited environment, like Torchling, which is signed, by the way, or, like, Soltari Priest, or, you know, like, things like that, like, Enslave and shit. And what I decided I was going to do is I was going to put together, since I love cubes so much, like, a starter cube for someone.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah, so basically, I don't know how many cards it is. It's got to be, I don't know, it's got to be like close to in between 400 and 600 cards, maybe. And if I find stuff that's cool, I'm going to add to it. It's not just all, I mean, it's not all like foil Japanese alternate art, you know, crazy goodness. But it's also not all crap. Like, I made sure not to just fill it with crap. But it's definitely like a starter cube. You could use this for booze cube, which is how I started cubing. You need to pad the booze cube a little bit with some removal and stuff. It's got like a fairly even spread of colors. Green is the worst color in the beginner cube that I provided, because it's green, to be honest. Like, you need to choose when you're making a cube. You need to choose if you want green to be mana fixing and ramp, or if you want green to be like aggro and guys, because green is very bad at doing anything other than those two things. Like, you can't make a reanimator deck with green, and you can with Survival of the Fittest, and that's it. And, like, the rest of the cards are just black, normal reanimator cards, you know? Like, Pernicious Deed and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So green is a little bit under... represented, but everything else is pretty even, and there's some good cards in there, and I included some cool stuff. So I really hope that whoever wins that really is, like, really interested in that, like, starting, like, a beginner cube, like, and then, like, going through the journey of this living organism. I think that's fucking sweet.
Well, and that's something that's basically what's been keeping your heart in the game, too, right? It's just, like, being able to create this thing for yourself. So I think that you being able to, like, share that experience with the winner of that is pretty awesome.
Yeah, I think so, too. And, I mean, obviously, what I'm including with the beginner cube package is any... cube advice you would like to ask me about.
Oh.
I'll be available almost 24/7.
Whoa.
I'd like just quadruple the value of that.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Personalized cube tutor.
Sweet.
Yeah, so that's, I think that's a cool prize. I also am including just like a binder of stuff that would be really good for like a casual group or a casual player who wants to start new, almost like that starter set from Sketchbook.
Yep.
Where basically you kind of get to, it's not like super powerful stuff, but it's a lot of it's super useful stuff or super interesting stuff. And it's basically just going to help you get off your feet. Kind of idea with Magic, if you don't really know what you want to do, or like I said, if you're new to Magic, you know, and you want to kind of get down started down the path. So it'll be a lot of really cool stuff, and it's from about Conflux up to about M12,
cool
ish in that zone. And there's some promos, there's some foils, there's like utility commons and uncommons. Like, for example, there's a playset of Staggershaw, which is cool if somebody wants to play like some kind of casual red deck wins or something, right? That's a really good card. You got to, you know, play your Stagger Shocks. So I thought that was cool. It's a binder. It's got a bunch of pages in it and everything. You start your trade binder off, right? Maybe you want to do a binder to power. Maybe Jay Boosh should help you start with that. Who knows, right? What else do we got? Oh, a starter Star Wars set, which I will personally buy you from Face-to-Face Games even, maybe. So you can play Star Wars Mantras. Pew, vroom. Waka, 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 waka. Those are laser beam slams. And then, oh, something that is, I think, is really fucking cool, and I actually am kind of upset that I'm giving this away, because I think that It's badass. But I think it's called Rise. It might just be RZE. It's a canvas bag that has a splatter, black splatter on the front of it. It's a white canvas bag, black splatter on the front of it with the black mana symbol, the skull in it.
Oh, nice.
And it's like a big canvas over the shoulder bag of holding. So you can look styling and profiling at your next GP. So that's sweet. I also have a playset of posters of all the M12 planeswalkers and one of Jace the Mind Sculptor, the most powerful poster of all.
So hot.
Yeah, so there's that. And then there might be more magic stuff, but I forgot.
No.
But then there's also... Did I get it all?
Yeah, you got all the magic stuff you sent me, yeah.
Okay, sweet. Then I also decided something that might be kind of cool, because like some people maybe aren't, you know, they're not magic oriented, or I have like friends outside of the biz, you know, and I wanted to offer some people that, or I wanted to offer somebody something that they could do maybe with their family. I have some friends who, you know, they have children. Maybe this would be a really cool gift for them, but not necessarily a magic gift, because they want to have their own thing, or maybe the wife doesn't want you getting all, you know, nerdy with their offspring. So it's a brand new, it's not sealed because I opened it to make sure everything is in there working, not broken, but it is brand new and everything, like the game hasn't been opened or anything, Guitar Hero World Tour full band set. So it's got a guitar, a microphone, a drum set, and the Guitar Hero World Tour game. And this is by far my favorite Guitar Hero game. It's fucking the best. It also has Lenny Kravitz on it, which is sweet. Then, at GP Calgary, there will be a special appearance by a GP Calgary-only band. It's called Fart Party Millionaires. And they will be playing a show. We might stream it or record it on a rock band sort of setup. And then, like, this sweet package of Rock Band and Guitar Hero 4 and Guitar Hero 5 and a bunch of guitars and a mic stand and a stool and a drum kit and a wooden drum pedal so it doesn't break, because the one they give you is like fucking a piece of shit plastic garbage, and like a bunch of replacement drumsticks so you can just rage on it, and then if you snap a drumstick you just get a new one and just so we're gonna give that away too, you know. You got like Jeff Woods, for example. That guy's got like 100 children and they're all boys. So I imagine what his wife wants me to do is send him a band in a box for his children to be occupied with. You know, because then maybe him and his wife can have a little bit more alone time to make, you know, boy number 101. So yeah, I figured I would donate, you know, just some nice range of things that I think I would like to get.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So make sure that you follow the directions. The link is in the show notes. You can see I'm always adding prizes as people donate stuff. So it's just going to get longer. The draw's August 20th or August 10th. So keep it coming.
Yeah, definitely. If you guys are interested in any of that stuff, you know, definitely keep your eye on it, because we're always adding stuff. And people are just being super generous. Like the other day, that $150 from Legit is just from Heather Meek, just yeah. Out of the blue, Revised Angel. She's just like, blammo, here is some fucking money for somebody. Like, I'm just gonna cheat, actually. I'm gonna win that. I'm gonna send it to Mr. Jobin at 123 Fake Street. And he never claimed his prize. I guess I'll just have to absorb that into my I'll keep it safe. You know, because these prizes are amazing, KYT.
Yeah, I agree with that. So,
what have you donated?
Nothing.
Fucking nothing.
Nothing.
Come on. Maybe you'll do my taxes, or King Ho could. So, yeah, so I'm excited. I'm really actually like the outpouring from the community is just crazy. So, I super, super support it. And thank you very much, everybody.
So, yeah. So get it in, and remember, it's for, so what we're going to do is I'm going to, like, when you want to send it in to me, send in a message or whatever, and I'm going to write them all down, and all of your messages will get to Jay, and I'll do, like, a nice big fat fucking check.
Yeah.
Big presentation at his wedding.
Like, a bunch of messages, too. Just make me cry like a little girl.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some of them that are pretty good, actually, and I'll read them to you when I see you. I'm not going to share them over the air, because they're kind of private.
Okay.
Plus, ooh. Megan might listen, and you don't want to hear them.
Private messages. La, la.
No, Megan might hear them. You don't want her to hear them.
I see.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm so amazed, and I'm so glad that everybody's taking this thing seriously. So thank you guys, and keep it coming. So yeah, GP Calgary next weekend, fucking this weekend. By the time this releases,
yeah, by the time you guys hear it.
Yep. So you got to make sure that you're there. Make sure that you come to the Manitou Private Party and come see us. You will easily find Jay Friday. Don't forget, we're doing the signing. So if you're there on Friday, come and see us at the venue at the face-to-face booth. We'll be doing like signing tokens, mats, and yeah, hanging whatever. Out. And
we can play some fucking Star Wars. You want to play me a game? I'll fucking Modern Masters you. I'll be you, bitch. I'm down. We could play whatever you want.
Yeah. We're down. We're going to do we'll do whatever you want. You want to fucking like 2-inch Giannis? Let's go.
Yeah, we'll rock it. We'll rock it.
So, yeah, we're there. Come hang out.
Come hang out. Please tell me your name also. Don't show up and be like, oh, I got it, Jay Boosh. I'm like, yeah, I am.
That's so what, so here's happening. The proper.
And then you're like, could you sign this? And then I'm like, here's the sign. And then you're like, okay, bye. And then I'm like, holy fuck, who was that fucking guy?
That's going to happen.
Yeah. So for all of you listening, here's the proper introduction. Hi, Jay. My name is blah, blah, blah. You know, so and so forth tagged from Twitter.
Oh my god, please do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'd be like, oh yeah, super, hey, how's it going? Right. And then sign this. Yes, great. Then you can problem go through.
Solved. Yeah. Tell me who you are from Twitter. That's not lame. It's 2013. Being nerdy is cool nowadays. So just say like, hey man, I'm from Twitter. Push up your glasses a bit. Just make sure you're wearing deodorant and you showered. If you didn't, I'm just going to call you this big smelly rhinoceros.
And if you aren't from Twitter, you can just say, hey, my name is...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I really love the show. You know, can you too? Can you blah, 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 blah. Yes. Can you sign my daughter? Yes.
Yep,
can
absolutely.
You... Yeah, Jay will literally sign anything except for
yeah.
Penis.
I'll probably sign a penis. Who cares?
He probably would. He just... You'll have to hold it for him.
Yeah, I'm not going to hold your penis.
Yeah.
And it better not stink. My God.
Yeah. No, that's... What the fuck? Although, I don't know how close you're going to get to smell to make sure that it stinks or not.
Well, like, if I'm signing a penis, I don't have, like, an 8-foot arm. You know? Like, I got to get sort of close. You, like, whip down on your drawers and it just smells like a dirty old swamp donkey in there. I'm not going to, you know... We got to keep this PG-13 at least.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to catch a tremor, a big stinky old death tremor or something. Graboid.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, I mean, like at GP Vancouver, some kid came up to me and was like, hey, can you draw something on my mat? And I was like, what do you want me to draw on your mat? And he was like, I don't know. And I was like, you want me to draw dicks? That's what everybody else wants me to draw. And he was like, okay. And then I drew a dick fist and a fist dick. On his mat. I spent like 2 hours on it. I didn't charge him nothing. And then his dad took me out for fish and chips. It was great.
Nice.
And that's not a euphemism for smelly dicks. Just FYI.
Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm expecting it to be like just an insane time. Like I expect Friday to be amazing. So
it's going to be great.
We're actually going to be like Friday morning. Like we'll be actually in the face-to-face booth. So if you need to like buy shit, come and buy it from us.
Definitely.
Yeah, because, like, no one else there is going to give you a better deal. Plus, we'll probably throw in tokens and a handy. I mean, thank
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. That's what we call tax in Canada.
Yeah. Well, there's no taxes in Alberta, right? So, like, correct. You got to throw something else on.
I mean, the government's got to get its take, all right? And the handies is where they like to take it.
Yeah. So, next week, did we mention we're going to do mailbag next week?
No, we didn't.
Did we do that yet? Okay. So next week, so this show's going up, right? So you're listening to this right now and it's on manitouprive.com. Go to manitouprive.com and leave like comments, whatever you guys want to hear,
whatever
you want to say, questions, whatever. And we're going to go through and pick a whole ton of them. Because like all we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about the Star City Games shit that went down Sunday. We're going to talk about what we're going to play at the tournament. And then we're just going to read your comments. Because Jay and I are probably going to be way too drunk to do anything else.
Oh my god,
we're
going
to
be just chocolatey wasted.
So definitely, definitely give us some content. Otherwise it'll be a really short episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like shorter than this one.
Also, fucking mailbag episodes are fun.
I think so. It's been a while since we did it. Like, we had fun with the AMA, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. A lot of fun.
except it was on Google Plus. So
Jay, yeah, was that was trash.
Yeah. Hey, Hangouts, man.
So I think we should. I think we're gonna do it this week. It's gonna be super. I'm very, very excited. It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, for sure.
So KYT, you said you're gonna be testing a lot this week. What are you testing for?
So there's gonna be a Burlington PTQ next month.
I thought you were like chilling out or some shit. What's going on here?
I think it's one of the few tournaments I will go to. I think there's obviously the Super Series that I want to make it out to.
Yeah.
But definitely like there's a bunch of GPs that I could have gone to. Calgary. I'm passing that just because of an actual wedding I have to be at here. Washington. There's a few GPs I would have loved to go to normally, but this one, I mean, after top eighting my last PTQ, I do feel like I want to give it a go. And because if Hexproof is the best deck, I think I just want to build the best version of it and see if it's like anywhere near as good as Boggle was for me in Modern. If I can feel,
yeah, you rocked it with that shit.
Because I know like the right. Basically, I know the right. I mean, it seems like it's a dumb deck to build, easy to build, but I think I have the right, based on my experience, the right feel for how many hexproof creatures I want and what type of spells and effects I actually want from the spells to optimize it to the best of my ability. So that's something I'm really excited about, I think. And if I come up with like the sick hexproof list, you know, definitely hope Jay will play it.
Yeah, I will.
That's awesome. When is this tournament in Burlington?
Middle of August. So I think it's, I hope it doesn't, it's not the same week as the Super Series that I didn't look, but it's mid-August.
Interesting.
Embarrassing if it is the same.
So the Super Series is on the 17th.
Okay, I think this is on the 10th then.
I'm gonna find out right now for you, sir.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to the lobby to get ourselves a treat.
So the Burlington one is, yeah, it's August 10th.
It is for sure.
Yeah, the Burlington PTQ. Okay.
Well, maybe I'll come with you.
What?
Yeah, if I do well at the GP, I'll come with it. Yeah, like straight up.
Because you love the deck.
I love this deck. I've started playing this deck.
Yeah, it's the same reason for me. I mean, it's if Hexproof, like one of my most successful archetype, if I find the right list, which I haven't, I didn't like it that much before M14,
mm-hmm.
just because of the inconsistency. But now there's like so much power, and one of my best friends is in the format, the Scout, which is basically Boggle.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. But definitely, in Modern, I've mentioned many times, in Modern, Jun was one of the hardest matchups because of Liliana of the Veil, and yeah. Jun can easily adapt to crush you. But then again, you have Voice of Resurgence, which was basically the answer that you had in Modern. Yeah, some people played like Young Wolves or Stranglerout Geist, or in my case, Fist of the Ironwood, just to be able to counter at least one time Liliana's edict effect. So, you know, there's definitely adjustments that can be made. It's not at the end of the world. If Jun adjusts, then we can readjust. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sick. But yeah, I might just come out. That might be something that happens.
Exciting.
That might be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Well, that's super, super awesome. We've got some unbelievable stuff lined up. Wow, what a weekend. What a weekend lined up for us.
Yeah, I got an itinerary in an email the other day, folks. FYI. So
It's extremely busy.
Yeah. I took off like 5 days just so that I could recover.
You're gonna need it.
Yeah, I think this might be one of those trips where, you know, you wake up and you're like, holy shit, why is my dick stuck in a hot tub?
This may happen. Yeah. Why are there s'mores in my ass? Yeah. So it's gonna be interesting. Yeah, we're like ram jam busy. I think I've got everything all scheduled out and laid out from now, like from when I fly in all the way to when I leave.
Wow, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So, but there's like going to be some epic meals in there as well.
Oh yeah.
And just good times all around. So much booze and karaoke. I'm very excited.
I'm super excited for karaoke.
Good.
Maybe they'll have Remix to Ignition. Nowhere I've gone so far has that song.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
I know, isn't that crazy? Losers.
Douches.
Super douches.
All right. So what else do we have on tap here? Anything else? This is a really short episode tonight.
Is it? How long have we been talking for?
Like an hour and 15 minutes? Yeah.
Holy fuck, you guys are slacking off.
Whoa, we weren't off playing Star Wars. won a pre-release. Yeah, I did my homework.
Didn't you get second place?
Second and first, I played two.
Oh, okay.
I'm playing one tomorrow night, and I'm very excited about that. Hopefully, don't open 5 unplayable rares again, but that's just how the format plays out, and hopefully I have sick and commons and commons. I mean, very excited. Like, I love M14 because I feel, and pre-releases in general, just because it's people that don't necessarily play competitively. Like, all these PTQs, like, friends don't see. They just come back for these pre-releases, and core set is very easy for them to come back to, and they don't misplay Infinite because they misunderstand, like, the newest complex mechanic. And it's like, this is core set. There's no Exalted, like I said, no Bloodthirst. Very straightforward, and they have a great time. And I'm just excited to see a lot of these guys that I barely get to see anymore, and hang out with them.
Nice. So can we talk about this real quick?
Anything.
So Jerry posted his revised White Black Humans deck
mm-hmm.
that he thinks he's actually taking to Richmond this weekend. 4 Blood Artist, 4 Cartel Aristocrat, 4 Champion of the Parish, 4 Doom Traveler, 4 Zathra Necromancer, 4 Gather the Townsfolk, 4 Lingering Souls, 3 Sorin Lord of Innistrad, 4 Tragic Slip, 2 Brave the Elements. 2 of those lands are mutables.
Shabadoo.
This seems like a very crazy deck that will do a lot of damage to everything that isn't Jund.
Yeah.
I
remember, didn't we mention like some super anti-token card in the spoiler?
Isn't it like tokens get -1/-1 or something?
We have that anyway. Illness in the ranks. Yeah. Yeah, and that's cheap too. Like
it's
one black.
Black, yeah.
Yeah, I would do pretty well against this deck, I think. The thing about this deck that doesn't scare me is that there's no, they had to cut somewhere, I guess, to make space. Or they had to cut the Skurzdag High Priest list. And I feel like the High Priest is just basically like the first scariest thing that this deck can be doing. And the Necromancer, incidentally, is just the second. But maybe I'm wrong.
Yes.
So, Ratchet Bomb also is a good anti-token card. Just saying.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we mentioned, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's back.
It's back, baby. Anyways, I thought it was very interesting. Dex scared me a little this morning when I read this article. But then I got talked down off the ledge, and I'm just going to wait and see what happens on Sunday. Yeah, I was like ready to just like completely overcommit my sideboard. I'm like 90% convinced that I need to play 3 Rest in Peace, and I'm just like, no. I just don't play 3 Rest in Peace. That's terrible.
I think it'd be fitting if you played Ratchet Bomb.
Mize the copy of it. Yeah. Cut my second O-ring for it.
Just so you can tell John to fuck off about the card.
Yeah. No, you know what? There's a lot of people in the comments that that really, you know, got behind and supported me sticking up for myself. So that was kind of cool. Thanks, guys. Love y'all. That was pretty sweet. So actually, you know what? Here's something we need to talk about. So Ginger Talion wrote a pretty good article for you.
Yeah.
So it's about like the heavy meta SVU, right? Heavy meta is sort of like the you know, our the redheaded stepchild small brother show that is also on Mana Deprived. So I guess, like, he wrote an article called The Heavy Meta SBU and Why I Got Inked. Mm-hmm. Very good article, good read. Basically talks about how his life sort of, like, got shit on, and then the podcast brought him back, and...
Oh, he's their Joshua Lemish.
Yeah. Yes! Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought about that. But I think that... I tweeted about this recently. I've been publishing a lot of these stories, more so than strategy, which is kind of weird, but all of them are just like stuff that I feel like I could read from a mag, like straight off like a magazine or something. It's just something that really touches me on an emotional level. So it was kind of weird that I'm getting a lot of this stuff recently. And Heavy Meta, those guys are freaking crazy, but at the same time, they were able to, like, how they push the community and how they push the community to rally behind them, and the whole SVU is just, it's just really impressive.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. And it was a good read, and it's really awesome to see that, see those sorts of articles on your site, because, like, there's so few places that are actually publishing them.
Yeah, Jay, did you hear about this? This guy tattooed, like, a podcast
logo. Wow.
Yeah. A Magic podcast logo on his fucking leg. Like, I don't think anybody can top that in terms of, like, a
fan.
That's
insane.
Yeah. Outside, like, of someone tattooing, like, Jay's face on their chest or something.
Oh, somebody do that for me. Somebody please do that.
Outside of that, that's, like, insane. I still remember when before I brought Maddie Studios and Kevi on, like, Scott... Have you met Maddie before? Like, I just, like, his enthusiasm was just so unreal, and I'm just glad I did pick those guys up.
Yeah, no, they've been pretty good for the brand, I think, and I mean, this show's enjoyable, so it's a good show to listen to. There are some of the there's some things about it that drive me bonkers from you know, every now and then, but for the most part, it's a good show. So, yeah. So I don't think there's a whole heck of a lot that is coming up. Obviously, you know, Patrick Chapin has put up another Grixis list. This one actually doesn't look terrible bad.
He got married.
Yeah. He did.
Holy fuck. You know what? I guess it's not surprising, but it's surprising because it's not something that you hear him talk about, right? So then it was like, what? Patrick Chapin got married? To whom? But that's pretty crazy. Congratulations, Patrick Chapin.
And
that's
I think
me.
The walking
in
the
5 weeks.
The Walking the Plains guy also got married. Nathan Holt also got married.
Congratulations for that guy.
So, well, a Magic personality is getting married this year.
Oh man, they're just locking it up. I guess Darwin Castle had something to say.
So, KYT, are you next? Like,
not in a while, but.
You gonna ask?
Or? I feel like
I can't believe it's been 6 years.
Yeah. Why? How long have you been with?
Seven.
Jake? Whoa! Mind blown.
Boggletown.
Yeah. So yeah, it's gonna be the next few years for sure, and. I'll see how excited I am after I experience.
Will her parents let you do that? Like, yeah. You're not a doctor. You don't own a business. You don't do anything.
I have a website. Like,
yeah, you're what? Fucking. You're a piece of shit. That? You're but, white. You might as well be.
Yeah, might as well be white.
Jesus, but, how are you gonna fucking get that?
The wedding that's next weekend. The wedding I'm going to the GB Calgary. It's the first one I'm going where I actually know, the bride and groom really well. Whereas, like, otherwise it was like my parents' friends or some distant relative. So it's gonna be really interesting to finally see my friend, someone close to me, go through it and see how. What their experience is like, and then see if I'm gonna look forward to or stress out like you are over mine.
Oh my god, it's crazy.
Wow,
Yeah, but like when you get married, I'm sure it'll be a lot different. Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. Because you have culture to back you up, and yeah, you have.
I'm
like,
white. We've established that I'm white.
Sure you have, I'm sure you have more money than I do.
We've established that I'm white.
Oh, okay. Sweet.
I don't. Maybe my parents do, but.
You must have some money.
Stashed around. Scott, were you really composed during yours?
Yeah.
I could imagine.
Like, Scott had already done it once before. He knew it was.
No. I had not actually been married.
He knew what was up. He was already there.
I had not been married before. Fucking sowing these seeds of dissent. No, incorrect.
He's embarrassed.
But no, actually, it was amazing. It was kind of like this moment where, you know, you look down the aisle and you see her standing there, and she will never ever be more beautiful to you ever again than in that moment, except for right after she gives birth to your first child.
And she's all messy and full of stuff.
And it doesn't matter.
Oh my!
Those are the two most beautiful moments that you'll ever see.
Wow.
And it's just like nothing else mattered. Everything else just like tunneled out. And I'm like looking at her coming down the aisle, and she's fucking bawling. Like it was almost like somebody was walking behind her with a shotgun saying, "You can't run away." And I like didn't care because she's just like fucking like, oh my God, just tears streaming down her face. And she's trying really hard not to just like run. And she's a crier, right? She doesn't.
Oh, okay.
And she's just like big, huge grin and these tears. She's just she's like crying and laughing at the same time. And just like, yeah, like the rest of the world just melts away. Like it's just the most amazing moment. So yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Wow.
Pretty awesome.
I never thought that when I gathered you guys to start this podcast that I'd be invited to one of the castmates' weddings.
Yeah, isn't like, how that crazy insanity? Is
that? Oh,
yeah, I think that's crazy.
That is really crazy. I think I tweeted like I've only met Jay in real life once, so
yeah,
it's like how crazy it is.
Yeah. So, speaking of crazy, so. There is a very significant proxy community on G+, and there's now like weekly proxy contests to see who can like come up with the coolest proxies.
Cool.
It's fucking awesome. I just put a link into the show notes. Jay, if you could click on the Twitter link that I gave you there. So Les Kershaw, Who Wiles from Twitter.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. So he put this one up, and I messaged him in the G+ forums, and I was just like...
Is this the Garrick?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's insane. I retweeted it.
It's insane.
It looks fucking wicked.
Yeah, and I was like, this is absolutely absurd. What do I have to do to get you to make a foil one and send it to me? And he was just like, what? Really? Yeah. And so it's apparently on the way. So, like, I absolutely had to give him a huge shout out because this thing's retarded. It's Garrick Color of Beasts. It's Hulk. And it's outstanding. Like, and it's gorgeous as shit. So I've retweeted it. It's in my timeline. Check it out. If we can put it in the show notes, great. You guys want to go to Z's Proxy Factory in the G+ community. It's stunning.
Yeah.
And in foil. Like it looks dumb. I can't wait to see the sheen on it.
My draw has officially dropped.
Yeah. Yeah. Proxies are now artwork. Like Maddie had it right. This is dumb. Just dumb. So yeah, so it's coming. I'm very excited. Very excited. I can't wait to put that in my Animar deck, which is basically all creatures anyway. Sweet. So yeah. I think...
Kyle's going to be able to stitch this together and make it sound awesome.
Of course. Kyle's back. Amazing.
Fuck, thank God. My boyfriend's back and gonna be in trouble.
Hey, la, my boyfriend's back. Yeah, my boyfriend's back. Better look out now, my boyfriend's back.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, there you have
so
it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, we're just getting warmed up for karaoke. We're gonna like rip the fucking roof off. I cannot wait.
Oh man, I can't even. I decided the last time I went to karaoke, or two times ago, I decided like I'm not gonna do my signature song until GP Calgary anymore.
And what's that?
I'm not telling.
Oh, okay, I'm actually pretty excited to potentially do, if I am drunk enough. I believe in a thing called Love by the Darkness.
Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
I love that song.
That could be fun.
That could be super fun.
But yeah, I think I'll have to reprise Snow while I'm there, and Informer, do some Informer action.
Sweet.
And then whatever else, we'll see. But yeah, it's gonna be sick ass.
Super ultra.
Sick ass. So that's, do you guys? Do you have any like shout outs or anything we want to add on? Like, I mean, I kind of like preempted a little bit of the whole like credit where credit is due shout out thing, but we don't have to do anything formal. But I mean, like BZ getting into Star Wars is pretty sweet.
Yeah, I mean, I have a bunch of shout outs, but I don't remember them. I'm terrible with all that stuff. I have to give a shout out to Melvin Conyers though, who is sending me some Star Wars shit. He works for Cool Stuff Inc. And I was like, hey, does Cool Stuff Inc. have any Star Wars stuff? Because I can't really see if they do or not. And then he was like, what's your address? I'll send you some. Blammo.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, big shout-out to that guy. Holy fuck. Super shout-out to all the people who donated to the cause and who also are buying raffle tickets. I really appreciate it. I know you don't have to. And it's definitely something that I appreciate quite a bit. So.
He's actually going to cry and blubber like a little bitch when he
Not going to do any more.
And I'll take videos of it and post it all over the internet.
Well, I'm going to. Holy.
I know.
When you present a check, it could be for like fucking $12. I'll just fucking start bawling.
Yeah.
$12?
Your shame will be well published.
$2. Oh my God.
$2.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The one thing I can tell you one thing. I can tell you who the biggest donator so far has been. Do you want to know that?
No.
I want to know.
Name. I don't want to tell you how much. I'm just going to tell you the name of person that's bought the most tickets.
Okay.
Upstart.
It's got to be Chris Lansdell.
That would be a huge shock, actually. Yeah, my brain would be on the floor right now if Scott goes Chris Lansdell.
No, it's Jeff Woods.
Wow.
Yeah, I have to be Rockstar.
Man. Rockstar. Although,
like 10 kids, you can't afford to be supporting
anything. Close behind them, though, has been in no order, but like Kim Q Ho, and then Frankie Richard and Brian Brown, all have also, and Andrew Wagner, they've all been like very significant contributors. I'm not mentioning all of you, but like those of you that I just named, you guys are amazing, and keep it up. And keep them coming. Chris Hartjes actually also has been very good. I just realized that I have him in two different areas. So, yeah, it's pretty sick.
Super sick.
Alrighty. Well, with that, KYT, send us out.
And we're off.
So the Super Series is on the 17th.
Okay, I think this is on the 10th then.
I'm gonna find out right now for you, sir. What's the name of the storm, Burlington?
Binjobins.
It's not Binjobins.
Damn it! When will somebody open a Binjobins?
For fuck's sakes!
I have no clue.
We don't know. That's
You're good at this, KYT. Isn't this your super series?
Bad.
More like a blooper series.
Yeah.